This is the Old Trailblazer broadcast. This is Pastor Albert Pendarvis, the Old Trailblazer, coming to you once again with another study from God's Word. And we're just glad to have you with us. We'd like to give you our mailing address, if you would.
Post Office Box 1810, Walker, Louisiana, 70785.
Write us. Help us with the broadcast if you can, my friend. It takes money to put these broadcasts on. Are they blessing your heart? Sit down and write me a note or a letter and say, Pastor, I want to help you. Whether it's a dollar or five or 500, we just appreciate everything you send, and we'd be glad to hear from you. We're coming back with another study on the sovereignty of God, and we're looking at a study under this title, God's Selective Grace. We looked in our last study, in the last two or three studies, at God's Elective Grace. But we're looking at this title, God's Selective Grace. We want to just bring you a study on that subject this morning. In Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, we find these words, For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. And in 2 Thessalonians 3, 2, we find these words, All men have not faith. According to these scriptures, faith is God's gift. And being sovereign, God being sovereign, bestows his gift upon whosoever or whomsoever he will. According to God's word and general observation, we find that God does not bestow the gift of faith upon all mankind. You know that, folks, well as I do. We find in Titus 1:1, Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect. We find here that God bestows his gift of faith only upon his elect. This is made so clear, so very clear, in Acts 13:48. Let me read that verse to you. Acts 13:48. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. Now, you want me to read that again? Did you get it? And when the Gentiles heard this, that's Acts 13:48, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. This means that the elect of God received the gift of faith and believed, which means they received the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. We found in our last study that back in the councils of eternity, God wrote in the book of predestination the names of all of his elect. And we mean by that word elect, those whom he foreknew, those whom he predestined, those whom he elected for salvation through grace. These Christ died for, and upon these God bestowed the faith to believe. My friend, you ask the question, is God partial in distributing of his favors? And the answer is yes. He has the right because he is sovereign. That's right. That's what our study is about. In the 20th chapter of Matthew, we have recorded the parable of the laborers in the vineyard. Many of you know that parable. In the 11th verse, we find they murmured against the good man of the house. The good man of the house here was God himself. In the 15th verse, he answers their murmuring in these words, Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with my own? Is thine eye evil because I am good? Here is taught clearly that God is sovereign in the bestowal of both his gifts in the natural and in the spiritual realm. And who are you, or who am I, O man, to question the Lord God of heaven? Now, I wish we could get one truth straight right here, my friend. God is sovereign. In all things, he's sovereign. There's no accidents in God's economy. There's no good luck in God's economy. No, God knows the end from the beginning. The Bible says he knows every hair on your head. He says if the sparrow falls to the ground, he knows about it. And the sparrow being the least little bird that I know of, maybe a smaller one, but the sparrow is no bigger than your thumb. But the Lord knows about it. And then if he knows those things, doesn't he know the end from the beginning? He knows his very elect. We see in these verses, man, fallen mankind, as inert, impotent, as a lump of lifeless clay. That's right. Just like a lump of clay there on the potter's wheel. We also note that there is no difference in sinners themselves. That is, between the elect and the non-elect. Now, my friend, that's right. I wish you'd think about that. There's no difference. For it is plainly stated that they are clay of the same lump. Two individuals may be listening to me, sitting side by side there by your radio or sitting around your breakfast table. One of you may be God's elect, but before the Holy Spirit begins to deal with you for salvation, there's no difference between the two. No, my friend, both of you are clay of the same lump. One has been chosen as a vessel of wrath, fitted for destruction, the other as a vessel of mercy, which God had afore prepared unto glory. This same truth is stated in Ephesians 2:3, where God says, all were children of nature, all were by nature children of wrath. Let me read that again. Ephesians 2:3. God says, all were by nature the children of wrath. That's how we come here, my friend. The Bible says we go astray as soon as we be born, speaking lies. This means that even God's elect were children of wrath before they're saved. Now don't take offense with me, my friend. Listen, would you? The same as those who will never be saved. The Word of God plainly teaches that the ultimate destination of each individual is decided by God's will. Now that's a gracious truth to me, my friend. I praise the Lord that God is sovereign. Thank the Lord. Such is the case, for it left out our will. It left out our will. The certain destination of every sinner would be hell, because no individual of his own will ever desired or chose to be saved or wanted to be saved or will to be saved. The Word of God makes plain that God himself makes a difference in the respective destination to which he assigns his creatures, because the Scriptures we have just read to you says one vessel is made unto honor, another vessel is made unto dishonor, and some vessels of wrath are fitted to destruction, while others vessels of mercy are aforetime prepared unto glory. The truth is God's Word plainly teaches that whether you believe it or not, and let me say this, my friend, do you believe God's Word? You believe all of it? I do. I believe every jot and every tittle of it. The old trailblazer, Pastor L.R. Shelton, used to say, this is God's Word. Believe it and be saved. Disbelieve it and go to hell for your trouble. Now, my friend, that's true. You don't believe God's Word like these little professors that get up and say, well, I just don't know how much of the Bible you can read. You know, the first 11 chapters of Genesis is a myth. And all. My friend, they just have to go to hell for their trouble. You'll have to soak them in coal oil to ever get them to burn in hell. I just tell you, my friend, we better be careful when we're handling God's Word. God's Word is eternal. It's immortal. It never will pass. The Bible said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. The truth, that's right, teaches that whether you believe it or not, listen, that it is the truth. I know that it's humiliating to the individual's proud heart to behold all of mankind in God's hand as clay in the potter's hand. I know that. It's humiliating to come down, my friend. But the Bible says every knee shall bow. Did you know it's humiliating? But let me tell you the greatest blessing that ever can come upon a poor soul. The greatest thing that ever happens to a poor individual before he comes to know the Lord is to be awakened to the fact that he's lost. To be brought down at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ, confessing his sin, seeing that he's a sinner, acknowledging all. What is repentance, my friend? You say, oh, what a big word. No, it's not a big word. What is repentance? It's acknowledging what God has shown you. Taking the blame. Did you know, have you ever taken the blame? Man must take the blame, my friend, for his sin. That's right. I've been made to take the blame many times when I wasn't to blame. But when God's Spirit moves upon you, you're ready to take the blame. You're ready to take the low place. Listen. I know that this is a day of human boasting. I see it on every hand. Proud, proud flesh, my friend. You know that's the greatest disease on this earth now, is proud flesh. That's right. Intellectual pride, oh, my friend. Intellectual pride. Scientific research. Philosophical dissertation and deification of man. and man's thinking and planning, God is ruled out. Ruled off of his own throne, my friend. That's what happened. That's what's happened. You see these fellows up there in those spaceships? The Lord gave them wisdom and knowledge how to do that thing, those things. It's so intricate in my mind, I just can't even fathom it. But the Lord gave them minds to do that. But when they come back down to earth over there in California or Florida, do you ever hear one of them say, thank the Lord for the intelligence he gave us, or thank the Lord for bringing us back safely? No, they don't think that. They're intelligent, my friend. No, no. It's also a known fact that very few educated people, so-called in the present day, including the ministry, that's right, including the ministry, trouble their heads regarding the great truth, great Bible truths of sovereignty. But it's relegated to the background. You don't hear the average little silk handkerchief preacher preaching on the sovereignty of God. No, he tells you how to get along with your fellow men, the brotherhood of man and the fatherhood of God, and how to get along with dumb animals, and how to have a car wash on Saturday to raise money for a gym and have a ball game, and now getting ready to play ball and buy ball suits and wash cars and sell cakes and pies. No, my friend, instead of getting out there thumping his, raising his hand against sin in the camp, my friend. No, sir. He's not doing that. He's just a little silk handkerchief preacher. Listen, including those things, they relegated the sovereignty of God, the election of God. But listen, remember one thing. Even though the attitude of present-day people towards the sovereignty of God and of salvation has changed, the word of God hadn't changed. It's unchangeable. It's immutable. And your ideas and opinions will not alter nor change it one bit. Let's notice one thing further. And I just insist upon it, because Romans 9:21 teaches definitely that the potter forms his vessel for himself and not for the vessel's sake. Paul makes very clear here that God is a divine potter and sinners are the clay. Men might strive with their maker as they will, but divine truth remains that man is nothing more than a mere lump of clay in the potter's hand. Now, my friend, that's God's word. That's the grace of God this morning. That's the selective grace. God chooses, my friend. The Bible says, I believe it's over in Peter, ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, chosen from before the foundation of the world. How can you negate that, my friend, by denying it? Listen, you can stick your head in the sand and deny it and go on with your free willism, go on with your easy believingism, but you know where it'll lead you? Land up in hell, my friend. I tell you, folks, I wish I could make you so mad that you'd get God's word and begin to search it. That's right. I have folks right in here take issue with me, want to cuss me and all of those things, but I'm just bringing you God's message, God's word in truth. This is the truth of God's word I'm bringing you, and my heart is kind and tender. Oh, I raise my voice once in a while, but I'm just doing that for emphasis' sake, my friend, because I see souls going to hell. I see my folks going to hell. I see my family, my children, many of them going to hell. I see my congregation here going to hell. But listen, folks, listen. If I fail to raise my voice, I'll have to stand there and give an account. Why didn't you be true to them, Pastor? Why didn't you stand firm on the doctrine of God's sovereignty? Why didn't you stand up for the doctrine of God's grace? Why didn't you stand up for the doctrine of election and predestination? Oh, my friend, this is God's word. I'll stake my eternal destiny on the sovereignty of God, that God is sovereign. He does as he pleases. Why don't you just take God's word for the truth? It is. It is the truth. God's sovereign, my friend, whether you believe it or not. Would you write me? Let me know if you're listening. Wherever you're hearing me at, tell me what station you're listening over. And remember, our mailing address is Radio Missions,
Post Office Box 1810, Walker, Louisiana 70785.
This is Pastor Albert Pendarvis saying goodbye and God bless you.